Why are we studying systematic theology? Just to act like we're smarter or what? What is the purpose of this?
To put the pieces together in our own mind so we can more effectively communicate to other people.
Yes. One thing, so that we can worship God better, that we have a more greater foundation underneath us of what we do believe. There's so many people out today. The church I was at 20 years. There are people in the church there. The theology and the doctrines of that church are so diverse. There is no foundation. There just really isn't a foundation. You hear evangelism and everything, but they used to send people to me and say, if you can get him straightened out. See if you can get him straightened out on universalism, hyper-Calvinism, or whatever it was. See if you can get them straightened out. If you preach it from the pulpit, they'll get straightened out. Simple as that. Won't they? I do. Now, I'm an unusual preacher, good or bad, whatever it is. This last 7 days, we had 4 messages in the top 50 downloads in the world. People, so many times in churches, don't want to hear the deep theology. They want to feel better. Joel Osteen, you know, the Crystal Cathedral. They want to feel good when they leave church. They've got a boost. It's what we call a psychological treatment. Now, I hope people feel better when they hear me preach, or worse, better or worse, because you got to feel worse before you can get better. First of all, you got to know who you are, and in this book, in systematic theology, we learn who we are a little better. And we know who God is. And we're able to communicate to others that are out there that have been, brains have been scrambled with misinterpretations and misinformation about the Bible and about God. That, well, for instance, many people in Catholicism, when they get older, many of them become agnostics, because in all reality, there is nothing in that church that is rational, is it? Nothing. If you read the Bible and you go through the doctrines of the Catholic Church, the dogmas of the Catholic Church, it is absolutely diametrically opposed. It is not right. In the Methodist Church, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, in the Mormonism, why, many of these people are really good people. But they're theologically, they have been scrambled, and many, many, many people in these systems are not saved at all, because they don't know enough about God to even get saved, or about themselves. They hear lessons on how you can do better in life, how to win friends, and then how to win friends and influence people. Carnegie, you know. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Yes, we can make friends. I have so many times, as I have had opportunities on ham radio, on 7220, on 40 meters, and on 3913, sometimes I'm on there for hours, aren't I, Marilyn? Teaching the Bible. 3 hours, 4 hours sometimes in a row with people. And then people will write me emails and say, thank you so much for being there. You answered questions that I had. And I didn't say one word. I was just listening. I didn't even know they were there. We see this because I try to answer people's questions. That's what we're supposed to do in it. We're supposed to give an answer to people for what we believe. That's why you're studying this. Now, we studied about anthropology Sunday morning. And we studied how that man did not evolve, but man was a creation of God. We talked about the Neanderthal, the Cro-Magnon man, Neolithic and Stone Age and all of this. And we talked about all the different stages that the archaeologically anthropological world has. And you can find people in any of those stages in the world today, in all reality. We're coming down to where it says the end of God in creation on page 171. In our treatment of the decrees, the writer says, we maintain that there were not only not due to any necessity in God, nor primarily due to the desire for the happiness and holiness of the creature, they were instead formulated with a view to his own glory, in order to display his glory, and in order to receive glory from the creature. Revelation 4 and 11 tells us what? God created all things for his glory and his majesty, to display it, to share it with humankind, angels, and spirits. And even the animal creation in all reality. Yes or no? Yes. We see all of these things. The same motive that caused God to formulate his purposes also actuated him in carrying them out. He had a will. He had a volition. That is, he created all things for his own glory. For first of all, in order to display his glory, Psalm 8 and verse 1, O Jehovah our God, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who has set your glory upon the heavens? We can look up into the heavens and we can see the glory of God. The first way that God reveals himself to mankind is what? By his creation and nature. Number two?
Intuition.
God puts in every man the desire to seek God, and God convicts all men of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, whether they ever respond in a positive way or not. And number three, by direct revelation. Isaiah 40 and verse 5, and the glory of Jehovah shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it, in Isaiah 66 and verse 19. Also John 1:14. Kai hologo sarx aganato, and the Jehovah, or the Word, fleshy became and dwelt among us, and we beheld his what? We beheld the glory from the only begotten, full of grace and full of truth. No man, in verse 18, has seen God, but the only begotten God, the one being inseparable in the bosom of the Father, that one has let himself out. And that's the fulfillment of this very verse. They shall declare my glory among the nations, Ezekiel 1:28. This is the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Jehovah, Luke 2 and 9, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, in Acts 7 and 2, and the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. Did it? In the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis? Yes. In 2 Corinthians 4, 6, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John 8 and verse 56 through 59 talks about Abraham seeing God and those Jews that he was speaking to, trying to convince them, and some were convinced, very few. Nicodemus was convinced. Joseph of Arimathea was convinced. Some were convinced. Some of the scribes were convinced. Some of the rulers of the synagogues were convinced. We see that the majority of them, though, did not want to accept him as the Messiah king, did they? And John 10, 22 through 31 also talks about Jesus. Now let's go back there for a few moments. We didn't do that Sunday. John 8 and John 10. John, the 8th chapter. Let's read this and just see what happened here in the scriptures. John, the 8th chapter, verses 56 through 59. Let's go back up And verse 45, because I speak the truth to you, you do not believe me. He's talking about the same people he's trying to convince and prove that he is Messiah. By his miracles, God did not perform any miracles because of a single person. He performed those miracles to prove that he was Messiah. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. And the Jews answered and said unto him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Now what happened? What is that terrible thing, Brother Roger? They're accusing him of performing miracles by a demon god, Beelzebub. And they're attributing all of his miraculous works to Satan. And this is the unpardonable sin in the nation of Israel. Jesus said, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But do not seek my own glory, for there is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Woo. And the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste of death. And surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets who died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, my person. This is Genesis 22. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord shall provide, and the Lord was seen. Jireh means to see and also to provide, or to see to it. And he saw it and was glad. Why, he's getting ready to sacrifice Yitzchak, Isaac. And the Jews therefore said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I was the Jehovah. Asher, Hayah Asher. I am that I am. Now they're real mad. He's quoting Exodus 3:14 in Greek, Ego Eimi. And therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, and he hid themselves and went out from the temple. Now in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, that was the 8th chapter, let's go over in chapter 10. Chapter 10, 22 through 31. And at the time of the Feast of Dedication, what is this, Brother Roger? What's this feast? This is what we call the Feast of Lights. The Feast of Lights. Now this is when the Maccabees, when they rededicated the temple after the great Antiochus Epiphanes had destroyed the temple and had offered swine, and they rededicated the temple and the Feast of Lights, where they didn't have enough oil, but the lights in the candlestick burned for 8 days. Until they could make some more. Because they couldn't burn just any olive oil in there too. It had to be consecrated oil. Or it would be a death penalty. And it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. And the Jews therefore gathered around him, and they were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. What did he tell them before in the 8th chapter? Was he being mysterious about it? Did he heal the blind? Did he raise the dead? And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, and bear witness of me, who performed every miracle in Jesus' ministry? The Holy Spirit. By the agency of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have Son of God walking on the earth. You do not believe me because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are two. How many? One. Ahad. Kina. We are one. And the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus said to them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? And the Jews answered them, for a good work we did not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. The Jehovah Witnesses ought to listen to this. Now the Mormons, they don't have any problem with him being God. He's just one of them. But how many gods are there? Hear, O Israel, the Shema. The Lord our God is one. And Jesus answered them and said, has it not been written in your law that I said ye are gods? If he called them gods, to when the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do not say of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming. Because I said, I am the Son of God. And Islam says, there is no God but Allah, and he has no companion. He has no son. And Muhammad is his prophet. That is the statement of faith, isn't it? And yet it is blasphemy to these verses right here. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works of the Holy Spirit, is what he's talking about, of the Father. Believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Therefore, they were seeking again to destroy him and murder him. Anyway, and away again, beyond Jordan, the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. And many of them came to him and were saying, while John performed no signs, yet everything John said about this man is true. And many believed in him there. Because of what? Because of the miracles. We don't have to have miracles today. We got them in a book. The Holy Word of God tells us that these miracles happen. We don't need miracles today to prove to us there is a God in heaven. God already proved that. One time, didn't he? During the ministry of Jesus Christ. Page 171, he created secondly in order to receive glory, 1 Chronicles 16:29. Ascribe unto Jehovah the glory due unto his name. And Psalm 29:1-2, ascribe unto Jehovah, O ye sons of the mighty. Ascribe unto Jehovah glory and strength. Ascribe unto Hathabar, the word, the glory due unto his name. Worship Jehovah in holy array. Isaiah 43:7. And every one that is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. Look at that. Jeremiah 13:6. Give glory to Jehovah your God, Hathabar, Eloheinu. Is that right, Brother Roger? Before he causes darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turns it into the shadow of death and makes it gross darkness. Romans 15:6. And that with one accord ye may be with one mouth glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15:9. That the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And 1 Corinthians 16:6-20. For ye were bought with a price. Glorify God therefore in your body. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For how many soever be the promises of God, in him is the yes, and wherefore also through him is the amen, most affirmatively, unto the glory of God, through us. 1 Peter 4:16. But let him glorify God in this name. From this we conclude that we should study nature in order to perceive the glory of God. Study nature in order to believe the glory of God. I used to love watches a lot. I still like them. I still have this Rolex on my hand. It's just been going there. You could shoot it out of a cannon and not hurt it. But it's a mechanical masterpiece. I had a Patek Philippe that I traded for that gun that Audie Murphy owned. It was a mechanical masterpiece. And if you want to find out what Patek Philippe was capable of, get one of those watches and just look at it. If you want to understand what God is capable of, look at the stars. Go out there and you look in your yard. Look at the animals that wander through here. That testifies to the glory of God. Now to say that Patek Philippe did not exist, or the Rolex Watch Company does not exist, or Piaget, or any of these people that make these fine masterpieces of mechanical perfection, is stupid, isn't it? But yet people can walk out and look at the Milky Way and swear there is no God in creation. Try to explain it away in some other way. Why? I have three Kalamazoo wood-burning cook stoves, Marilyn. They were designed very well, weren't they? Very well. When she first saw me cooking up there in the middle of the winter on that stove that sat out here for 18 years, and she said, "That is a masterpiece. That thing keeps us warm, and there's nothing can cook like that. It's so neat." She said, "The way I cooked on it and rattled the pans and stuff around on it and the oven and just put a little stove wood in there every now and then, and it just keeps that thermometer just right." She said, "That is real. Those people really knew what they were doing." Yes, they did. We got two Viking ovens in there, $7,000 ovens, confection ovens, and they will not cook like that little old Kalamazoo stove. They will not.
They're not even heated.
No. That oven and that stove floats in flames. Around, all the way around, out the bottom and up the back. Floating in flames. Flames. And you put something in there, you don't have to turn it, do you, Marilyn?
No.
The heat is ambient. You know, we ought to be thankful that we have that. Ephraim is a cake unturned. You heard that story? Ephraim is a cake unturned. He's soft in the head because they didn't have ambient ovens. Biscuit, the word biscuit, biscuire, beast twice cure cooked. It means that it is cooked on one side and cooked on the other side. Biscuit. Ephraim was a soft in the head, a cake unturned. In other words, you have to turn it over. But in that oven, you don't have to turn it over, do you, Marilyn? The heat is right there, and it'll make the biscuits or bread just crispy on top, and it won't burn the bottom. You put something in that stove in there to make it crispy on top, it's going to burn the bottom. But they do it right. A biscuit with ambient heat. Now, God put the earth in exactly the right place. What, it burned it up? Here in Bakersfield, I thought he made a mistake yesterday. Or in Old River, because it's 118 degrees with 79% humidity. I said, "Lord, this is just a little too hot. I mean, it's going to burn the biscuits." Burn everybody. Killed one of my little hens out there yesterday because of it. One of my little black hen. The one that used to want me to pet her every day. Well, black draws heat, doesn't it? They're losing a lot of black cattle out here now because they get too hot of this heat. Well, you know what? Mankind did a little bit of that, didn't they? Why do we have this extra hot heat? Because we've messed with the atmosphere. Now, people don't want to hear that, but we have, haven't we? God didn't make a mistake. We make mistakes. God doesn't make them. From this, we conclude that we should study the nature in order to perceive the glory of God, the universe, in His handiwork, and it is intended to display His glory, and therefore proper to study it in order to behold the glory, and then also we ought to do what we can to enhance and declare His glory. Answers to our prayers should be natural leaders to give glory and honor to God, and so should our intelligent study of the promises and the provisions of God for His people. Indeed, as Paul admonishes us, whether therefore we eat or drink, or so whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God in 1 Corinthians 10:31. I say this, that God created and he preserves his creation. He created it and preserves it. Matter does not exist by itself. Matter does not exist by itself. It's not self-existing. The universe is trailing down. Spontaneous generation cannot be. No self-existent life forms are in existence. Something must have the power to produce life, to create it. Something must have power to produce life, to create it. Only a fool would quarrel with the powers of God in his creation and his ability to maintain his creation. I wrote a book about 40 years ago. And I said in that book, I said, if man keeps messing with the earth, that earth will shed him like a lizard sheds its skin or a reptile sheds its old skin. If we don't take care of the earth, because it's not ours, like God wants us to, this earth will throw us off. As simple as that. Now, we see in the tribulation period, we see how God turns the forces of evil on this earth. And then we have massive pollution. People don't attribute to God the pristine glory of his creation. Mankind lived to be 1,000 years old then. And all the wars on the earth that ever happened on the earth affected the weather patterns on the earth, doesn't it? We know that. Unless you're a fool from Texas or something. They don't believe in that at all. They want to ignore what they've done. Man is a sinner, isn't he? And man pollutes whatever he does. He pollutes. And somehow, God will shake us up when we mess with his universe. When we mess with it. I'll give you a little thought for thinking here. To think. When we went to the moon, the weather patterns on the earth greatly changed. And also, the patterns of the oceans. We started having extreme minus levels. Extremes. I said that God placed the earth in exactly the right place, didn't I? It says, Barashith bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. It says, in one of the beginnings, he had created God, the heavens, the universe. They put the earth in exactly the right place. And everything out there. If we mess with God's timing and everything of the earth. That moon was out there in exactly the right place to produce the tidal waves that clean the earth. The ocean cleans the earth, doesn't it? When you go up there and throw things out of balance, we start getting kickback from the universe itself. It's saying, kicks it back. Quit messing with God's stuff. Quit messing with God's stuff. You're doing things you don't know about. We're touching things that we don't know about. They put a little extra weight up there on the moon, didn't they? Careful what you do. Be careful what you do. God made it exactly perfect, and we need to respect what God has done because he knows more than all of us. Do you have any questions? Did you learn something? Marilyn, you don't have a question? I like your Nevada suntan. Yes, you can see it indoors. All right. Anything else? No, Sharon, then you don't have a question. Did you learn something today?
Yes.
Absolutely. We need to study God's Word to be able to rehearse it before others. So we went from page 171 to 172, and we cover a lot of scriptures. We'll start on page 173, the next class. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out. We send it out for your honor and for your glory. That's why we exist, for your honor and for your glory. Protect us from all evil. Help us to more respect what you have created and to love you in a deeper way. Help us to serve you in a deeper way. Help us to reach those that have been unreached, those that some people have just forgot as unreachable. I pray for those that might hear this message today, that you'll touch their hearts with the truths from your word, that they'll see your Son as God in flesh, and that is their only antidote to the poisons of sin and to eternal hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.